may be seated. I'm continuing on Romans 3:27, contrasting the boasting in self that is forbidden with the boasting that God approves. And now I'm in an excursion in praise to show the kind of boasting that God approves. Tonight I take you to my psalm. I didn't write it, but it's mine. And I rearranged David's writing this morning of the 27th psalm. His 30th psalm is mine. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
This is my psalm.
Yes, sir.
I hope before you leave tonight, it'll be yours. Now this is 256 in the Romans series, weaving a shalom service in, 13 in the excursion in praise. Let me tell you about this psalm, why it's mine. I'm a little too honest to not admit that others have claimed it. I have a great affection for J. Vernon McGee. I think in God's plan, that marvelous Church of the Open Door that was such a testimony through the years in this city downtown, the founding pastor, Ari Torrey from Chicago, famed across the world, his testimony, I remember, I was so amazed, was almost identical to mine. Loss of faith, restoration from a study of the resurrection. J. Vernon McGee used to fill that building on a midweek night with his famous Through the Bible teaching. And I never stepped to the platform at King's House, or rather at this cathedral, without having a little catch in my breath that I'm preaching under those Jesus Saved signs that J. Vernon McGee and those who preceded him made so famous. And I think it was in God's plan that I'd be the last pastor to preach in that church and restore it to Bible teaching, because it had departed from J. Vernon McGee's marvelous focus on the Word. J. Vernon McGee and I have a lot in common. You'd be surprised the salty language he could use. And there were those that would go to him and criticize me when we were fighting the fight for all the churches. And he would say, with, depending on who he's talking to, some extra words mixed in, "Just shut your mouth. James Scott preaches the gospel." He's on record as saying, "Our last hour, so-called, on television was the finest hour ever on television." But we have other affinities. I think God knows how to weave a plan, and that we have been the custodians of those signs and saved them and carry forth that heritage. And you go to the historic monument on Hope Street just before you go on into the library, the downtown central library that we helped to save. And you'll find the historic monument there with the names of every pastor from the first one to the last one at that great, wonderful Church of the Open Door building. And the last pastor is Dr. Gene Scott. God weaves a pattern And where one leaves off, he always has another to pick up. Joshua to follow Moses, and Elisha to follow Elijah. Let me read to you what J. Vernon McGee says about my psalm. This is a psalm sung at the dedication of the house of David. It's a song of praise and worship. After the storm of life is over, there is a song. Some Bible scholars have thought that David wrote this when he brought up the Ark to Jerusalem. Others have thought it was written, and that's me. I don't just think, I'm sure he wrote it. At the dedication of that threshing floor at Araunah, on Mount Moriah, where Abraham had taken his son, where the temple was to be built, where the Lord of glory would offer himself, David had sinned, looking at his own strength. He numbered the people against God's command, an action of pride, and look at what I have. Strangely for David, something like Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to number the people and see what he has in the flesh to lean on. God punished him. You read about it in 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21. God gave him three choices for his sin: a terrible famine, turn him over to the enemies and let them come against him with no support from God on David's side, or strike the land with a plague. David knew God. Delicate presumption. He'd rather trust himself to the hands of the plague, knowing he can cry for mercy, than an unending famine or into the hands of men. God answered his prayer and stayed the plague, and he bought a threshing floor. They wanted to give it to him. He said, "Shall I give to God that which cost me nothing?" And he bought it. Another one of those types as God weaves his fabric of where the greatest cost of all would be offered when the Lord came. And as he dedicated that place, is where I think this psalm was written. It's been a part of Jewish heritage when they dedicate a temple. It was, and has been for centuries, sung at Hanukkah, their Christmas season celebration of the defeat of Antiochus Epiphanes and the Greeks under the Maccabean Rebellion and the restoration of the temple. But I believe he wrote it at the time of his repentance. And I believe that he was stricken with the plague, because this is a psalm of healing. When David had one foot in the grave, so to speak, at the edge of death. It is my belief, J. Vernon says, and the belief of many others, that David was once as sick as Hezekiah, and God raised him up. We have no record of what his sickness might have been. Yeah, the plague. But these verses tell us that God healed him, and I like this psalm because God did. J. Vernon speaking, and this is why I'm kin with him. Because God did the same thing for me. In fact, I consider this my psalm. Well, he's gone, so we don't have to fight about it. I consider this my psalm because after having cancer, the Lord permitted me to live. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Perhaps, J. Vernon says, I should organize a chorus and call it the Cancer Chorus of those folk all across the country who have been attacked by the awful monster of cancer. And God has sustained them. And in his case and mine, God healed them. O Lord, he continues in the third verse, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. And J. Vernon says, I don't know about you, but I could sing, or at least say, this psalm. It has a great deal of meaning to me. Fourth verse. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Vernon. We give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. God didn't heal me because I'm some special little pet of His. He didn't heal me because I'm a teacher of the Bible. He did it because He's a holy God. And He maintains His holiness. He recognizes my sins and He has saved me by His grace. He hasn't lowered His standard one bit. Again, I say hallelujah for healing. I praise Him, my great physician. I don't have to praise some great man or woman who claims to be a healer. Well, I like that. I didn't go to a person like that. I went directly to the great physician. Oh, my friend, if you are sick, take your case to the great physician first, and then call in the best doctor you can get, because our great physician gave him all the skill and wisdom he has, whether or not he recognized that fact. God is holy. We ought to be thankful that we have a holy God who deals with us in grace. I'll come back to this. You see why I call this my psalm? It's a healing psalm. Let me read it and take the message to you before we go to the table of the Lord, because there are people here tonight that the great physician, unchanged, will respond to. If you can rise to the level of what I've written on the board, you've seen it many times. Me, who? Me this morning, whom? Who? Hey, I mean. He amens. Lishmu atenu, the hearing of us. Isaiah 53:1. That's the only condition. But back to Psalm 30. I will extol Thee, O Lord. And turn me down just a hair. I will extol Thee, O Lord. Now that word, I've given you so many words of praise. It's room. The form of it that's being used, aroma, mekah. I sort of like that. If you think of a sweet aroma and a sweet savor of the burnt offering that raised and ascended for God's pleasure, I will arom mekah. I will elevate and magnify and lift you up, God, with my praise. I will. How many times have I said through this series, which is easier for you? Which makes you feel euphoric and up, as we say in the slang world? Praising somebody you love, or being praised? And you know the answer. Something about it, you know, and particularly if it's somebody you know is honest and loves you, and they're pouring it on from their heart. Man, you're about 10 feet tall, and you're lifted in your spirit. That's what David is saying to God. Arom Makah. I will lift you up with my praise, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. And David had a problem. He was the great singer of Israel. How many psalms have we gone through where I will love Thee, O Lord, the mother figure? This morning, the Lord is my light and my salvation. last Sunday, the Lord is my shepherd. Now he's sick unto death. And oh, how the enemies. We have a brutal picture of it when Jesus hung on the cross. He saved others. Why didn't he save himself? It's a cruel world we're in. Our foes. I actually rejoice when we're down in our faith. I'm not fanning, so you don't fan. When I start fanning, you can fan. Nobody in here is hot as I am. But if they could practice for the Olympics in 95-degree weather in Sacramento a week ago, we can remember the Lord who hung on a cross. That sweat running down you doesn't match the blood running down him. So get yourself under control. If you pass out, I'll anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith will raise you up and you can be hot again. You see, I may not look like it, but I'm 75. Heat's supposed to be hard on old men. Some of you young bucks there look like you're about to die. Bear me witness. Is it hotter up here than it is down there? Oh, just quit the fanning and sweat away. Don't move your perspiration smell around. I haven't forgotten where I am. I thought of this. Married a month and a half. It's an old story to you. Never old to me. Apparently wasn't old enough for David to stop telling it. Double 10 Gleason. They took the biopsy. They didn't think there'd be a problem. Come back. I still sort of resent that other doctor sitting there. I guess he's a doctor, like Johnny Bench. I never saw him before. Normally, you know this, Mark, because you do the advance work. I don't worship doctors. I mean, I make an appointment to go in. I don't bring 15 people in that weren't in the appointment list. You don't have any right to bring another doctor in unless they tell me. Right?
Yes, sir.
But, you know, he didn't expect to have a double 10 Gleason. He said when we took the biopsy, he didn't think he'd find a problem. The PSA had shot up. Here sits this Johnny Bench. I knew what was going on when he made his announcement. This is to protect against litigation, to have a witness to what he said to me. Double 10 Gleason, the worst I've ever seen. Aggressive prostate cancer. And I'm sorry to tell you that without immediate surgery and or radiation, you will be dead in 10 to 12 months and a very painful death. With immediate surgery and or radiation, we have to do a scan immediately. The chances that it hasn't spread to the rest of your body, metastasized, slim and none. That was Friday, scheduled the following Tuesday for a full body scan. With surgery and radiation, maybe 5 to 10 years. I felt my wife squeeze my arm. I love her very much. And my first thought, what did I get her into? And then for the day that followed, I remember we took a walk, we went home, prayed, and she did what she usually does. She's off buying every book on cancer, and she's going to read every one that can be bought in town, which she promptly began to do. Next morning, we took a walk, a familiar walk, on the ranch. And I remember the thoughts. I hadn't noticed the green as much and the birds as much. You mean, this is it? And after preaching healing all my life, once I'd settled it, that healing was in the atonement, I have to do this. I almost counted the steps, I wonder how many more times she and I will be able to take these walks together. You got to face death to even have an ounce of understanding or sit beside a loved one, as Jerry and his family did when Deborah faced it. You know what I'm talking about. David faced that. Death's door. You know the story. I came to you on Sunday morning. I spread the data out. The double 10 Gleason confirmed, done at Glendale Adventist, confirmed by UCLA and the City of Hope. Most doctors you call will have never seen a double 10 Gleason. Every cell in the prostate, cancerous. I came to you. You fasted and prayed. The scan was scheduled on Tuesday. Reports came on Wednesday. And as always, this congregation rises to the challenge. Those were dreadful days. I told my wife, I remember when I first told her, she was a newer convert. God, how she has grown by leaps and bounds. I said, I've taught this all my life. I can't preach something I don't believe. And neither can I not do what I have preached. Hang my body on what God said, to death if necessary. I'm going back to the book. If I can find a way out, that healing's not in that atonement, in Isaiah 53, then I'll get up and correct what I've preached, and I will go to the hand of doctors. You know the results. I cataloged them week after week. We went to the scan. They thought I was crazy. I had such faith. I'm laying on the table telling them they better save that sheet. It might be another Shroud of Turin. They thought I was nuts. You're supposed to be scared while they're trying to mark the spots that they're going to have to radiate or cut. You know the story. The PSA started going down. I didn't have surgery. Didn't have radiation. Don't take any pills. It'll be 4 years this October. Now I'm targeting that 5 year that surgery might have gotten me. I was hanging over the pit. That's why I can understand this. I can understand. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. You know how many foes I have that rejoiced when they heard the news I had cancer? And has not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Brought up is a Hebrew word that's used when they drop a bucket into a well and bring the water up. Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. I can see him reliving the plague which came as a result of his own sin, in his case, crying out to God for mercy. Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't yet borne the sicknesses. For God to heal him was going to be an advance loan on the mortgage on Jesus' life that would be bought up and paid for when Jesus bore our sicknesses. Sing unto the Lord, he says. Now he's gone from remembering what God has done to him, which is why I'm preaching this message tonight. He believes that those that have witnessed that, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Zamar, remember that word? Singing praises. Let's just use the English. Zamar. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks with extended hands. The word is yada. Remember that? Yada. Sing unto the Lord, Zamar. Make music and praise. Ye saints of his, give thanks, yada, at the remembrance of his holiness. You remember that word for praise? Zakar. Zakar is praise that results from remembering what great things the Lord has done. Has the Lord ever done anything for you?
Never.
He died for you. We remember tonight he picked up your sicknesses and carried them away. Nasa, bit down and picked them up. Sabal, those are the words in Isaiah 53, and carried them away. Like the sins laid on the goat to go to Azazel. The sicknesses too. Here, I carry him away, lay him on Satan. It's not enough for him to burn throughout eternity. Let him suffer all these sicknesses while he's burning. Give them back to him. If nothing else, you've got that to remember. But in my case, and in some of your cases, if you think back, you'll remember when you were at, in some cases, death's door. Deborah, I'm sure, and her family. My wife, me, or sickness you thought would take you down, and the Lord healed you, took you through it. We saints that are members of one body, make music unto the Lord, ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That word is one of the richest and one of the strangest words in the Old Testament. It's kabodic or kabod. The Old Testament translated glory. In the New Testament, it's like doxa, which is the outraying of his essential nature. His purity and his life dwells in light, as I preached this morning, and he is our light. But in this case, we're talking about, and it will come up when he talks about our glory later, that essential inner man nature, the realness of what you are at your essence. With God, it's glory, his kabodic is unchanging. And what David is saying is what J. Vernon McGee said. He doesn't just heal David. He didn't just heal Gene Scott. He didn't just heal J. Vernon McGee because of the incidents of the moment. It's who he is. I am. He gave himself that name. I am. You don't talk him into it. I remember Fred Smith, the great scientist that was off-paraded in the early days of Billy Graham Crusades. On the faculty of the University of Minnesota, I got a call from George Otis, whom I'd ordained into the ministry, and he said, Gene, Fred Smith, that great Christian layman that appeared on Billy's platform many times, has a blockage in his stomach. He's dying or faces uncertain, but in results, but certain surgery is the only way to deliver. Can I persuade you to fly in and talk to him and pray for him? I immediately got on a plane and flew to Minnesota. Hadn't met him, but the way was prepared by those that knew both of us. And I went in, and no matter what it was saying, his scientific mind was taking over. And he was constantly asking a question. If he could just find a reason why he's sick, and a reason why God should heal him. Finally, in exasperation, I think I probably got the attention of a few nurses, but I said, "Fred, will you stop it with your scientific brain? God doesn't need a reason other than himself." Shut up. He said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." It's his nature. Lots of times you find out about God in experience, and we find men who were having association with God will stamp a name on him. But this is a name where God flung the window open and said, "Look, this is how I am. Wherever I am, this is my nature, and it comes with me. I'm a healing God." That's why God in Christ could not just pick up our sins. He grieves at the suffering on his creation. Brought forth in an utterance, "Let us make man in our image," Adam. And when he redeemed us, he took care of that other thing. He took the sicknesses and laid them on Jesus, that there be no barrier to him being himself. That's what David's saying here when he says, "His holiness," didn't know how to say it in English. "Lord, thou hast brought my soul up from the grave. Sing unto the Lord," Zamar. "Give thanks," Yada, "at the remembrance of who he is." I didn't deserve to be healed. He did it. I didn't have any right to claim healing. He gave me the right by putting it on Christ and having the covenant with his Son, which we remember at this table. I sing, I give thanks. I praise him on the remembrance. This is how he is. David counted on that. That's why he asked for the plague instead of the famine, or being delivered into the hands of the enemy, because he knew how God is. He goes on. Remembrance of your nature. This is your nature. This is your kabotic. "For is God's anger." You ever had him mad at you? Sure you have. He hates sin. "He's disturbed at me every day." But this is how he is. "His anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life." That's bad translation. His favor endures for life. The grace outweighs the anger. "Weeping may endure for a night." Remember that, Jerry. Weeping. You were there the very first Sunday when she went in. You said, "I'll be at my post. I'll do what? I'll keep my commitment." You think the weeping will never end. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Joy, that word I gave you, a derivative of it, roan. A shout, a joyous shout of deliverance. Weeping may endure for a night. Some of you are here with a weeping cause. I don't want to just preach a sermon. Weeping endures for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. And then he confesses. That's why I'm convinced he was dying from the plague that was put on him as his choice of the three for his sin of numbering the people and getting lifted up and thinking that his strength was sufficient. I'll count them and nothing can make us come down. The arm of the flesh. All of us get in that state. I've arrived. Nothing can bring me down. Oh, while I rejoice in God's healing, I know every day when I get up, it's the nature of that monster that I saw in the microscope that looks more like I imagine demons must look like. The cancer's always there. Every man in this building has got prostate cancer. The issue is, will your immune system and God keep those demon cells in defeat? I get up every morning knowing I dare not say in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. I shall never go down again. I shall never be sick. I shall never fail again. That made David take the census. In my prosperity, I shall never be moved, I said. Lord, by thy favor, not by me, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. But I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication, which is what anyone in need tonight should do. And then he did that daring thing that I commented on this morning. I'm going to keep this with me the rest of my life. If he got away with it, I can get away with it. God, if I die, the dust will not praise you. I've come to my senses. Keep me alive, and I'll praise you on remembrance of what you've done. Boy, that's a daring statement. The same God who said he could make the rocks praise him. Do you know, God, that if I go in the grave, dust will not praise me? I like David. I like him. I know why God liked him. I bet God looked at Jesus and said, you know, you're going to die for that rascal. Did you hear what he said? Hear what he said? I heard it over the praises of these angels that are flying around me singing my praises. He said, dust can't praise you, so don't kill me. Keep me alive. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Try that on God, will you? If you're here to be healed tonight, whisper that to him. Whisper that to him. Anybody going to come in the graveyard to be there to hold pastor's hands up on Sunday mornings and declares thy truth and we praise you, Lord? Gravestones can't fill the cathedral. So heal me. Got it? Wow. Hear, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Nazar. It's from that same root, the inner strength that comes from God, Uzi. And here go the dichotomies again. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory, and it's again kabod, literally kabodi, the kabod of me. It is the poetic seat of honor in the inner man, the noblest part of man, my inner being. As God's inner being, is that nature that makes him the healer, among other things, and the Savior and the Helper, and all that we've been teaching that is why we praise him. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Why? Thou hast put off my sackcloth and hospital robes and girded me with gladness to this end, that my innermost being may sing praise, zamar, make music to thee, and not be silent. O Lord, Elohimi, my God. O Lord Yahweh, Elohimi, my God. I will give thanks. Yada, with extended hands, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I was at the edge of the pit, and you healed me. I remember that. Well, on my bicycle, healthy, enjoying the days we have together with my wife and you, easy to forget. Easy to forget. Thou hast brought me, my soul, from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, Zamar. Sing unto the Lord. O ye saints of His, and give thanks, extended hands, Yada, at the remembrance of what He is. He is this. He went to the cross. He picked up our sicknesses and our sins. He carried them away, Sabal. Surely He hath picked up our sorrows and griefs. Sorrows, macabre. Pain that comes from sickness. Griefs, hali. Sickness, the King James has ruined it. And the chastisement of our shalom, well-being, the punishment to restore our well-being upon Him, and with His stripes or bruises, we are healed. Isaiah said, after it happened, Peter looks back, we were healed. That's what we come here for in the shalom service, the well-being service. We come here, and we come to remember He took our place. That's why we come at this point in the excursion and praise, as Jeremiah 9 says, as we remember and come to understand what His nature is. The praise comes out spontaneous, like the halal. I haven't said much about halal, from which we get hallelujah, but its root meaning is to shine. The secondary meaning is to boast, to shine, as He is the light, like the moon. As we get closer to Him and understand His nature, there is the shining back radiation as our kabodic, our inner man, our glory, sings praises to Him as the result of recognizing who He is, how He is, and we are in His care. He is my shepherd. We go to this table tonight, and I want you to come and sing, He is my everything, as the ushers come. And I hope that in this atmosphere of remembrance, you can praise Him tonight. And while you're singing His praises, and extending your hands in worship, and remembering the specific things He's done for you, remembering that your prayers were a part of him healing your pastor. This is my psalm. I'm sure it's the psalm of some of you also. I want this house to be filled with praise as we remember what he did for us. And all you have to do to obtain the healing, mihe amin, who he amens the hearing of us. Sing the song. I don't know how to say it any differently to you. God was healing back in David's day because of who he is. He knew he could count on his son. His son was going to do it. And all challenge, because sickness was part of the curse of death. And the price had not been paid. But as we saw at the end of the 26th verse in Romans 3, God at Calvary proved he'd been just, righteous, in the righteousifying, healing, forgiving, through the years, those who said amen to him. David had the faith to believe. Weeping was for a night, joy in the morning. He had the faith to believe, anger for a moment, favor for a life. God vindicated that expectancy and hope and prayer of David before Christ died. How much more as we go to this table tonight? There are two elements, bread and wine. If sin's the only issue, you don't need the bread. God being who he is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Your care is his constant concern. He doesn't want you sick. He wants you fading into wellness, shalom. It's yours tonight for the taking as you take this bread and look through it to our Lord who picked up and carried our sicknesses away. We can step out from underneath him tonight as we take the bread and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. With your stripes, I was healed. I don't want to hear about worthiness. We're not worthy. The passage tonight should make that clear. David wasn't worthy. He counted on God's own faithfulness to himself. I am he, the prophet, quoting God, says, that blotteth out your sins for my own sake. His own sake is his own son, taking his nature to die in our place. He's worthy, I'm not. He took my sins and carried them away that I might be made worthy. As I say, amen, O Lord, made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Amazing grace. Offering time. I feel real good about myself. For all the people that didn't come tonight because they thought they'd be able to watch on television, we decided not to broadcast this. Now, take your healing home with you. Some are healed instantly, some as they go. It's yours to claim who he amens the hearing of us. The psalm said, weeping for a night, joy comes in the morning. That's our closing song as we take the offering. Let it go.